So we have all the Indians with us this afternoon. A lot of energy. Look, there's a lot of energy in the church, but that's the way we want it. The Bible says that not much comes from an empty stall. And we are thankful that you are all here and that our children are with us to witness this afternoon. Our brother Bob Beebe, one of the grandpas from South Bend, will preach this afternoon. Brother Clint's going to finish up. And then at 1 o'clock, we'll have the service. I forgot to tell you this morning, kids, that when we get ready for the baptismal service and the floor is opened up, the kids, we're going to invite the children to come forward and watch. But we would ask you to stay on the second step. They get pretty close. They want to see. And we want to see. So we're looking forward to that. So welcome, and then we'll turn to Brother Bob in the Word.
Lord be with you.
Good afternoon and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior. It is a blessing to be here in Indianapolis today. Certainly we're thankful that so many are gathered together. We're thankful that we have God to give to us a message. It'll not be a message from man, it's a message from God. At least let's pray that it is so. Certainly we know that man can give us, we can give each other advice and counsel, and many times it's good. But the best is that advice and counsel from God's holy word. I have before me the Gospel of St. Mark. Let's turn to the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 5. Chapter 5. St. Mark, chapter 5. And let's begin reading with verse 21, verse 21 of chapter 5. If we would have read earlier in the chapter, we would have read of Jesus' miracle of healing someone that was possessed with devils. In fact, he had so many that the man said is the names of them are legion. There were many, many demons within this man. And as he was healed, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." They departed, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. So let's begin reading with verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, this is the Sea of Galilee, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitudes thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard that the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that that something should be given her to eat. So I read through this, through the end of the chapter. Is there a song? People read it, sing a song. Certainly we'll share from that chapter, but let's sing a hymn together from the Hymns of Zion. Let's turn to hymn number 337 in the Hymns of Zion, 337.
Thank you.
Let's rise for prayer. Almighty God in heaven above, we come before thy throne of grace with thanksgiving and praise and honor and adoration and reverence, for thou art worthy of it all. Thou art worthy of our all. Father, we thank thee that mercy there at Calvary is great and grace is free, and pardon there was for each and every one of us. And there we found liberty. Father, we thank thee that as we read thy word, as we read of the words of Jesus Christ to those that have needs, that were not free, that we can learn from them how thou dost desire to heal us, to give us grace, and to set us free, set us at liberty. We're thankful, Father, that we live in a free nation, and this week we will commemorate the birthday of our nation. Father, may we in this day, each and every one of us who have been redeemed, commemorate that freedom we've received from thee, a freedom from sin, a freedom from condemnation, a freedom from eternal damnation. And Father, we pray for those that have come within these doors, perhaps even come within the doors of a church for the first time, or seldom come, or have seldom opened thy word, or seldom prayed to you. Father, we pray that they will hear and read and understand what thou hast for them, that there is freedom, that there is mercy, there is pardon, and there is grace for each and every one. We're thankful, Father, that thou art a God, not of people, not of throngs, not of nations, but thou art a God of the individual. So, Father, we thank thee for this day. We thank thee for these young people who have given their lives to thee, who have committed their lives to thee. And in baptism, they will show forth that symbol to all those about us, about us in this room and in this building, that they have a desire, a commitment to thee for the rest of their life. Father, may it be a day and a time when we also, each and every one of us who have been redeemed, have been in those baptismal waters, will remember our vows, will remember our commitment to thee. We know that thou dost not need to be reminded of us, but oh, how we need to be reminded of thee and of thy plan for us. We are so forgetful. We are so weak. We are so likely to forget what thou hast done for us. So we thank thee for this day, for this opportunity to be reminded and to be refreshed and to remember the mercy and the grace and the pardon and the freedom that thou hast for every single human being. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, those of you in this assembly today that were not here this morning, you missed a very special time. You missed a very special message from God's Word. And the thoughts that were shared with us, one of them was that as people, as individuals, God wants to adopt us into His family. And God wants to give us an inheritance that is beyond anything we could ever inherit upon this earth. And how thankful we are to be reminded of those things. And I had to think, as the scriptures here opened up in this chapter, that we're reminded of another really special attribute that we have in knowing and being a child of God, and as to be set at liberty, as even the song we sang, that we are free from sin. We're free from condemnation. We're free from eternal damnation because of Jesus Christ. And certainly as we think of looking forward now in just a few minutes to the baptism of five souls, they are free from sin. They are free from that eternal damnation that every single human being can be expected to experience, except for the blood of Jesus Christ. We read here of a woman, it says, Jesus passed over again by ship into the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Much people gathered about him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And first we see here a man from the synagogue. Here was a Jewish ruler, a rabbi, one of the rulers of the synagogue, and came to Jesus and fell at his feet. I'm thankful that we can read that some of those that were religious rulers and leaders not only knew of who Jesus was, but they knew he had supernatural power. And so he came to Jesus and he asked for healing. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. How good it is for us to see that there were those that were perhaps steeped in rituals and in rules, but they realized that the power of God was in Jesus Christ. We heard this morning that Jesus was more than a man. He was God and man. He's the only one I know that was 100% man and 100% God. He's a 200% person. So if we want to really find someone that can really help us, can really touch us, can really heal us, can really bring us to an understanding of the point of life, the point of importance of life, let's go to the 200% person, the 200% man, more than a human, but all God and all man. And that is none other than Jesus Christ, whom we read about in this chapter. All this chapter and all of the book of Mark is pointed so much to the work and the actions of Jesus Christ as he walked upon this earth. How thankful we are for the Gospels. How thankful we are for those four Gospels, those four letters that share with us of the life of Jesus Christ, of what he did. How good it is for us to think about what Jesus did when he was upon earth. I think, though, what is so good about the last Gospel, the Gospel of John, the first three are synoptic Gospels. They tell us what Jesus did. It's almost in a progression of it from birth to the end of his life. But the Gospel of John really tells us more, not what he did, but why he came. I think it is so important for us to realize that there is good things to learn from what Jesus did. We see that here in this chapter in Mark. But let's also remember that as we look into God's Word, let's take it all in. Let's realize it takes all of God's Word to help point us, as we heard this morning, to that point in life where we find meaning, where we find purpose, where we find peace. How thankful we are that each and every one of these converts has found peace with God. And we realize, too, as we heard this morning, that when we find peace with God, it means that we have been adopted by God into his family. And I had to think, as we heard that last night, a testimony of one that is being adopted by another family. That every one of us is like that. Some time ago, I heard it said that they're studying why some people live longer than other people. And they said, well, the only thing we know so far is choose your parents wisely. We can't choose our earthly parents. But the important thing is, we can choose our Heavenly Father. We can choose God, and we must choose God. And the reason that we're here today, every one of us in this room, is because we know God, or we want to know him more. And how it should be that every one of us has a strong desire to touch the hem of God, touch the hem of his Son, as this woman we read of next. But let's go back to the man, the ruler of the synagogue. He says, if you come and lay your hand on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. Every one of us needs to have the hand of God laid upon us. Every one of us is sick. Everyone that's been born into the human existence has the disease called sin. Look back at the Old Testament. So many times we read of the disease of leprosy. We read that even in Jesus' time. And that's actually a disease that's still around today. Not near as much, but it's still around. And how the Old Testament compares leprosy to sin. And perhaps every one of us should have an understanding more of the disease of leprosy and what it does to the body, how it destroys the nerves, and how it destroys the figuration, the face, how it destroys and defigures. Because that's what sin has done for every one of us. It has destroyed parts of us. Yes, maybe our nerves, maybe our flesh, maybe our spiritual nerves, our spiritual flesh. And it destroys and it disfigures us before God. But how thankful we are that there is a disease, there's a cure for that disease. There wasn't a cure for leprosy at the time of Christ. There hasn't been a cure for leprosy until just recently. It is a bacteria. It can be treated with antibiotics. There is a cure for the disease of sin. There is only one cure, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that we heard of this morning, that we heard of last night. How thankful we are that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He died. But remember that he didn't. It wasn't just a matter of death. It was a matter of shedding of blood. If we look back at the Old Testament, so much of those Old Testament books talk about sacrifice. Sacrifice. I think of the time when Solomon built his beautiful temple. Can we think of a church like this that was so beautiful that it stood for hundreds of years? And it was worshipped almost more than the God that allowed it. But when they went to dedicate that temple, they sacrificed, I think, like 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. Those were slaughtered so that their blood could be poured out on the altar. But then we read, and even in Psalm and in Isaiah, first chapter, God says, I'm tired of your sacrifices. What does God want from us? What sacrifice does God want from us? He wants our obedience. He wants our commitment to Him. He wants a will and an attitude and a heart and a mind and a work that is toward Him. And the first thing we have to do is do like Jairus and like the woman that had the disease. We have to go to Jesus. Jairus went to Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood, not being named, she went to Jesus and she said, if I can just get through all the crowd and just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. And I had to think how that is just like you and me today. We have to fight through the world and the way, the world system, the world view. We have to fight through selfishness. We have to fight through all that would come up around us that seems so good, but it is not going to bring us to Jesus. I can't help but think that she had to actually work her way through those disciples. Those men that were following Jesus, those men that were around Him, those men that were being taught by Him. Just as an example, that's an example to us of we need to make sure that we don't allow that which is good, that which seems good to us, to keep us from coming to the hem of Jesus' garment. She said, if I just touch it, I'll be healed. And then it says here that we see here, it says, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press and touched His garment. She said, if I may but touch His clothes, I shall be whole. We see there that not only is it a matter of going to touch Jesus, she had to have faith that that's what was going to do it. She trusted that what she did was going to have a healing effect upon her body. We have to have, every one of us, either we have or we need to have that faith and that trust. We heard of that this morning, how important it is that we trust. How important it is to be able to trust someone else. And many times, we heard last night, there was times when some of these converts didn't have an ability to trust. Didn't have ability to trust people. And we probably all, most of us, have had experiences where we trusted someone and they failed us. We will never be failed when we trust Jesus Christ. How thankful we should be that He is fully trustworthy, Jesus and His Heavenly Father. And we also heard that how important it is, I think last night several times the brother shared with us, that we need to realize and have an understanding of the importance of the Holy Spirit of God. How thankful we are that we can see in those converts, those ones that are going to be baptized today, those that are changed now and transformed, they have the Holy Spirit of God. I think that's something that we really need to be reminded, as we were reminded last night. We have to be reminded again and again. And let us live as though we realize that. Let us live from according to what we've learned, that every single human being that has received Jesus Christ and been transformed and have repented and been converted, we have the Holy Spirit of God within us. And having the Holy Spirit of God, we are going to be directed to Jesus. We're going to be directed, but to understand. We're going to know the Word. We're going to be able to discern not only the Word, but even the things about us. Oh, we might look at the weather today. One family here today had to leave because there's a storm coming, and they're going to fly back. So they look at their map on their phone, and they see there's a storm coming. They discern it's time to go. I've flown in a cloud. I know how scary it is when you're not instrument rated and you fly into a cloud. You don't know which is up and down, except you can sense the gravity. And you look at the instruments on your plane, and you know it's important to get out of there. And they teach you how to turn this wheel and go by the needle where it is, and you know how many seconds to count, and then you're going 180 degrees the other way. It is so important when we're in a situation where we cannot see, we need to get out of there. One thing that will give to us the Holy Spirit gives to us is when we have a conviction of not doing something, then don't do it. Turn your wheel and go the other way. Get out of there, 180 degrees the other way. It is so vital that we listen to the Holy Spirit of God. This woman was led by her trust in Jesus as a man. She didn't have the Holy Spirit within her, but she knew what Jesus could do. And so she said, I will have to work my way, and I just need to touch his garment, and I'll be made whole. I think how beautiful it is as she was healed, and she had been spending all kinds of money on physicians at her day and time, and nothing was better. But when she touches Jesus, it's all better. When we come to Jesus, if we come contrite and broken and desirous of having him heal, we will be healed. These converts can attest to that. We will find a Heavenly Father that loves us so much. Heavenly Father. Every one of us who have been redeemed, we have a Heavenly Father. I had to think, too, last night when they talked about adoption. My wife has an aunt, that adopted children in Brazil in an orphanage. And one of those daughters that she adopted when her aunt was on her deathbed or near the end of her life, this daughter whom she adopted, the mother turned to the daughter and said, I see more of myself in you every day. There was more in that child that related to her adopted mother every day. Well, you know what I think God is saying to you and me, to these converts? Let's pray that he sees more of himself in you and me every day. May God see more of himself in you and me. We're adopted into his family. We have been led to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. We have been led to see that Jesus has the power. We've been led to realize that there is the only way to find his relief and salvation. There is the only way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I think of how interesting it is that when Pilate was asked Jesus a question, what is truth? Jesus didn't answer because Jesus didn't have to answer. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the truth that every one of us needs. And then we see here that as the rulers of accompaniment came to him, they said, don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead. What a sorrow must have come upon that man. He was trying to get to Jesus to come. If Jesus would just touch him, touch his daughter, if he would just lay his hand on her, she would not only be healed, it says, she shall be whole. I think how important for us to remember is that throughout the Word of God, it's not just a matter of healing, a temporary healing that Jesus wants to give to you and me. He wants to make us whole. Do you realize what that is? So many of us last night we heard about all of life's problems. We can look at them all and we can maybe stop at a certain level. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he brings us to the very pinnacle, very point, the very essence of the purpose of life. Jesus will make us whole. But here's this Jairus, and he hears the words, "Don't bother him anymore. Thy daughter is dead. Why troubles thou the master any further?" If any one of us thinks that we are a bother to Jesus, if any one of us, in any of our problems or in any of our situations, in any of our days, any of our life, we think that Jesus cannot take care of it. Just remember this, even a dead girl, even this dead child, Jesus brought to life again. Oh, may we think about how so many times, even at noontime today, my brother was sharing how it seems like the challenges and struggles and the difficulties and the sorrows of life come upon us, but they can drive us, they can bring us, they can point us to Jesus Christ. There's a songwriter, the song that comes to my mind now is a young woman in Sweden about 140 years ago. She was 26 years old. She was devoted to her father, fully devoted. And on a boat, she saw her father, it lurched. And her father fell overboard and died right before her eyes, drowned. She was a poetess before that, but she became so much better after that. The sorrow of that loss brought her to understand the help and the healing and the respite and the care and the comfort that only Jesus can give. And she wrote, "Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust your promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land."
Don't you love that message? Thank you for preaching the gospel that Jesus saves, right? And for Tristan and Jack and Bella, Easton and Manna. That was a miracle I got those names right. Jesus saves, right? And I love that message, but I don't like one particular verse in here, and you could probably see why. This lady had a bleeding issue, and it says she suffered many things of many physicians. Morgan's nodding his head. It's not a good verse. It hurts my profession a little bit here. And, you know, we in our lives are going to have issues. Maybe you could call them an issue of bleeding. I was in a surgery recently. Since I'm trying to disagree with Scripture here, I should probably agree with it. I was in a surgery recently. We were trying to cut a tumor off of a kidney. And accidentally, maybe I could blame one of the assistants, we pulled a vein off another vein, and then the blood welled up, and then we couldn't see any of the veins or the kidney. And you know, in life, humility and having a broken spirit, like we saw in each of you last night. Remember, David said in Psalms, "A broken and a contrite spirit," right? That you would go to Jesus, believing that He cares and that He can save you. It's a witness to all of us, because for some of us, our baptisms and our testimonies were a while back, and to hear you testify that, thinking of Easton was saying that he was thinking through it, logicking through it, thinking through philosophy, and eventually he said, you know what, I believe Jesus saves, in a sense. And he went to Jesus to touch the garment. And we had an exciting few minutes in that case, but we got the blood bleeding stopped and we got the tumor out. And Jesus does that in our lives. So for the rest of us that are here, as we watch them getting baptized, can we remind ourselves, what's our bleeding issue? What's our fear? What's our selfishness? And have we forgotten that all we have to do is have the humility like they are showing today to go to Jesus and say, I want not what you have to give, but I want you.
Song leaders, give out a song, and converts will excuse you now to go get changed. I'm looking around to try to see who to pick on to pray, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do that. Let's have a prayer and then we'll rise for that prayer. Don't look down, pray. Let's stand.
Dear Heavenly Father, we turn to you again in this day, just thankful for this day, thankful to be in thy house, and to sit under the sound of thy word again, dear Lord. We're just thankful for this opportunity. We pray a blessing on the word that was spoken, that it can impress on our hearts, and that we can take it with us and impact those around us, dear Lord, for your glory. So just be with those that will be baptized this afternoon. We just pray a blessing on them. And this service that we will be witnessing. We're so thankful for Jesus and what he has done for us in shedding of his blood. And so just be with us throughout the remainder of this day. We pray and ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brothers, you can come forward.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to bless Thee as the God of heaven and earth, the Creator God of all comfort, and the one who has provided by Thy divine mercy and Thy grace the opportunity that we have before us this afternoon. According to the faith of these five converts, young converts that have been brought to life in the Spirit and have living hope within them of eternal life through Jesus Christ, based upon their faith, Father, they will establish a covenant in baptismal waters and then be baptized, fulfilling the Scriptures and obedient to the Word of God. We are grateful, Father, for this opportunity to be witnesses, and we invite Thee, Lord, to bless this holy rite of baptism in the lives of each of our five converts. And Father, also may this time together move the hearts of all of us, every one of us here, and even the little children, to sense the need for Thee and the closeness for Thee and the blessing of following Thee. So Father, bless this time together and each of these converts as they come into these baptismal waters. We thank Thee and praise Thee in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Is this microphone being okay? He's kind of tall. Jack, no, I'm fine. Jack, hold my hands here. It'll work good when I baptize you. Just sit down and then back.
Come on, kids.
We're going to wait just for a second.
Jack Klopfenstein, do you believe in God?
Yes.
And do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes.
Jack, do you believe that Jesus came into this world, that He lived a sinless life, and yet He was crucified at the cross for your sins and the sins of the whole world?
Yes.
And do you believe He was raised from the dead, resurrection, for your justification?
Yes.
Based upon this belief, Jack, do you have a testimony that you've experienced a true repentance and conversion, and that you are walking in the grace of God, and that you are at peace with God and your fellow man?
Yes.
Jack, are you willing to make a covenant in these baptismal waters that you will be true and faithful to God and to His Word as long as He gives you life?
Yes.
It is based upon your faith and your testimony that you shall now be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Easton Beebe, do you believe in God?
Yes.
Speak right into the microphone.
Yes.
And Easton, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes.
You also believe that Jesus came into this world, that he lived a sinless life, and yet he was crucified at Calvary, and he bore your sins and the sins of the whole world on the cross?
Yes.
And do you believe that he was, by the power of God, raised from the dead in resurrection?
Yes.
With your belief, Easton, do you have a testimony that you have experienced a true conversion? You mentioned how that you had searched and you were looking for. Do you now have a point, understand God's purpose for you in your life?
Yes.
Have you experienced God's changing power in your life?
Yes.
Are you at peace with God and with your fellow man?
Yes.
Are you willing to establish a covenant here in these baptismal waters that you will be true and faithful to God with his help and to his word as long as he gives you life?
Yes.
Easton, it will be upon your faith and your testimony that you will now be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Just sit down.
Isabella Gutwein, do you believe in God?
Yes.
And Isabella, do you believe that Jesus Christ, your Savior, as you have given testimony, is the only begotten Son of God?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that Jesus is the only way that we can have salvation and hope of eternal life?
Yes.
Do you believe, Bella, that Jesus lived a sinless life here upon this earth, and yet he was crucified on Calvary as a sacrifice for my sin, your sin, and the sin of the whole world?
Yes.
Do you believe that he was risen from the grave for your, although he was delivered for our sins, he was risen from the grave for our justification?
Yes.
And are you justified by faith, and do you have peace with God?
Yes, I do.
Are you willing, Bella, to establish a testimony in these waters that you'll be true and faithful to God with his help and to his word, as long as he gives you life?
Yes.
Therefore, Isabella Gutwein, you are, let me think just a second, based on your testimony and your faith in God, you will now be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Manna. Let's just take our time, okay? Let's just take our time. I'll set you down.
Okay.
Isn't this wonderful? Manna Standish, I'm going to ask you a few questions, okay? Are you nervous? It's joyful, isn't it? So, Manna, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to this earth and he lived a sinless life here on earth?
Yes.
You do. Do you believe that Jesus died on a cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins? He was buried and he rose again, and now he's in heaven interceding for you and me?
Yes.
So, in your repentance, coming to know Jesus, did you experience his grace?
Yes.
And would you say that today you stand in these waters at peace with God and peace with man?
Yes.
So then, are you willing to make a covenant, a two-way promise with God? He'll be true and faithful to you, but that you'll be true and faithful to him as long as he gives you life?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Yes. okay, based upon your testimony and your faith, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let's just take our time. Sit you down slowly, okay? Take your time. Tristan Davis, how awesome this is to be with you now. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Is this where you want to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want it too. We're all together. So let me ask you those few questions, okay? Your faith, this is about your faith and your heart. So you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, and that He came to this earth and lived a sinless life while He was here.
Yes.
So, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins? He was buried, rose again, and now He's in heaven interceding for us. Do you believe that?
Yes.
So, believing that, you turned to Christ, you said last night. And in that process of repentance and coming to Him, did you come to a place where you're now at peace with God and peace with man?
Yes.
Even your brothers?
Yes.
Yes. I knew the answer to that. So, are you willing, though, standing here to erect a covenant with God, a two-way promise? God will be with you, but will you promise to be true and faithful to Him as long as God gives you life?
Yes.
That's a big promise, isn't it? That yes. His grace is sufficient. So, upon your testimony, your faith, your heart, I'm going to baptize you, Tristan, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? Let's take your time. Let's take your time. Enjoy. Amen. So we would ask, the converts will go change and we'll come off the pulpit. We'll ask the song leaders to give a song while they prepare the pulpit area. this is how we're going to do it. We're getting organized. So you're going to stand, church, and the converts are going to kneel, and we're going to pray over them. Please stand. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, what a great joy it is that we would know Thee, the power of Thy grace, the meaning. Well, at least we understand, Lord, in part, and we're learning as we go, but we know now, standing here and with the converts kneeling, Lord, we've seen it, we believe it, and we trust in Thy grace and the power, in Thy Spirit and the change, the transformation we make, Lord. So we say that in glory and honor to Thee. And now we want to pray for these converts. As we put our hands upon them and symbolically and actually praying for sanctification for them and for Thy Spirit, for Lord, for You to come and live in their life and their heart. Lord, we've seen evidence of that already. They gave testimony of it last night, of the change that came about, experiencing difficulty and learning and growing and through Your Word and the Spirit speaking to them, their families and the fellowship. Lord, we're thankful for that. And so we pray for Easton. As he gave testimony last night, we pray that that experience would continue. That the thoughts and the mind, his mind, and the blessings that come as he thinks on life and Your direction, Lord, we pray for him. We lift him up to You, to our Father, to his Father. And Lord, we pray for his separation, his sanctification, to be set aside for You and to be used, Lord, in Thy kingdom. He said he has a heart for the lost. Manifest that in his life, Lord. Stir him up with the gifts that he has and watch over him. So we pray now, Lord, a blessing upon him, asking that Thy Spirit would be sealed in, would be that he would be full of Thy Spirit and that he would live a life that brings glory and a blessing to Thee. We pray for his family, Lord. His extended family and those that he knows in his sphere of influence. Lord, we pray that for each of the converts. And thinking about Jack Klopfenstein, Lord, we are so thankful to have him kneel now and place our hands upon him. And Lord, we pray the same. And as we pray for one, we pray for them all. And we pray for this church that stands as family and friends, that they would be convicted and touched. And Jack specifically, Lord, we're so thankful for the events in his life as he contemplated living for Thee. And then, Lord, experiencing sin and then being convicted in life's events with his uncle and his family. But most of all, Lord, You speaking to him and calling him and granting him the grace that he could come to Thee in faith. So, Lord, how do we pray it? How do we love someone enough to put it into the right words and to say, Lord, and plead with Thee, our Father and His Father, to come into His life and be active and real and evident, blessing him and strengthening him and pick him up when he's down and give him wisdom and patience and all the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. So, Lord, we trust that in Thy Spirit that his needs will be met and that You will watch over him for the remainder of his life. Hear our prayer, Lord. We pray for his family, his extended family, his sphere of influence, Lord, that he would have a heart for others and be unselfish. Bless him, Lord. Set him apart and fill him with Thy Spirit. And then now, Lord, for Bella. We're so thankful for the personality of each one of these converts and how they differ and yet how they're so much alike. They're alike in the fact that they knew they were sinners and that they needed a Savior, Lord. And we pray, we praise Thee and thank Thee for the evidence that lies in their testimony in our own lives. And Lord, for all of us. And so for Isabella Goodwine, Lord, we pray for her. We pray as we place our hands upon her, we cry out to Thee, our Father and her Father, to come in and dwell in her heart and her life and her mind and her soul and heal her where she needs healing. Test her and strengthen her and give her much grace, Lord, we pray. So with this prayer, we call upon Thee to move into her heart and life in Thy fullness. With all Thy grace, all Thy direction, in the wisdom that comes from You and from Thy Word. Lord, sanctify her. Convict her of sanctification, to be purposed in her heart, to be set aside based upon the principles and the truth and the commandments of Thy Word. Soften her heart, Lord. Teach her and grow her, we pray for her. We pray that blessing upon her and her family, her extended family, her sphere of influence in her life, that she would be used by You. Oh, and then with manna, Lord, we heard about a little girl that chased frogs and butterflies in her princess dress. And we learned about her personality, and we understand that, and we love that, and we pray for that spirit or her heart and her gifts as they have now transformed and she gave her life to Thee. She recognized the need and came to You in repentance and called upon Thy grace and experienced Thy love. Lord, I loved her testimony where she gave her heart to Thee and then experienced hardships and had to think that through and what it meant. Lord, we see the evidence of Thy grace and Thy Spirit in her life. So, but Lord, we pray now, symbolically, but with all our heart and our mind, we come to Thee and ask for Thy presence to be with her mightily, Lord. Be with her at all times, in all places, that Thy Spirit would fill her heart and her soul and drive her on to convict her, to encourage her, to teach her, to lift her up. So, Lord, we know that to be set apart for Thee is, it's by Thy grace that that takes place, but it's also from the Spirit driving us and teaching us and we growing in maturity and being transformed. Lord, we pray that for each, for Manna and for each of the converts, Lord. Oh, please be with them. We pray that as ministers and as parents and as aunts and uncles and grandparents, Lord, we love them and we trust You to be with them all their life, Lord. I just thank You and pray a blessing upon Manna, upon her family and her extended family and her sphere of influence. Be with her the rest of her life, Lord. And now for Tristan. Oh, I couldn't wait to pray for Tristan. Lord, we are so blessed as a church. We're so humbled, Lord, at how You work. And Tristan's testimony of Thy greatness and Thy care all the while, Lord, is, it's just so real and so pure. And Lord, we're so sorry where we forget and where we doubt. I pray, Lord, for Tristan and her sweet gifts and her experience and her knowledge and her heart, Lord, that You, Lord, would go with her as You have, as You've been. But Lord, please continue. We seal her. We pray for her. We lay our hands upon her, crying out to Thee to remember her all the days of her life, Lord. We pray that Thy Spirit would fill her heart and her mind and her soul. Remember her each day. Convict her, encourage her, Lord, that she too could be set apart, set aside, sanctified, Lord, for Thy use and Thy purpose.
Help her to remember that all the days of her life. So, Lord, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for her. We thank Thee for each convert, and we pray that You would be with Tristan and her family, her extended family, her mother, her sphere of influence in her life, Lord, that she could always remember and give credit and glory to Thy high and holy name. So, Lord, now we close this prayer asking to remember each one of them and us as an Indy church to adopt them and to be one in the body of Christ as brothers and sisters. We pray and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.